Since we have four people missing, does anybody have any questions about what we've studied lately in 2 Timothy? Any thoughts or comments about no man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier? And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Everybody understand perfectly. This is a big deal because every instinct, everything in you tells you to become involved in the affairs of this life. And in doing so, you justify it. And that's what's so evil.
I noticed that the word, I don't have it right here, but it was like similar to the word pragmatic or something, you know, which is like the affairs of this life. And when you know, it's like faith versus pragmatism.
Got a little test on that yesterday. The affairs of life. I was out shopping for some materials. One of my guys were working on a flat roof over in Oklahoma, three-story condominium. I get a semi-panic phone call that it started a fire.
What?
And,
Main started a fire?
Yeah. In putting down a flat roof, you use torches to seal the roofing, so they start a fire. And they got the extinguisher and put the fire out, but it had sucked all the smoke, draw it over to another place 20 some feet away, and now smoke coming out over there. And I'm in the, you know, I jump in my truck and I'm heading back, making a couple phone calls. It was a big reality check. The idea of burning down
the neighbor's house.
Yeah. Well, there were six in a row. Well, three, maybe four in a row. If it had been a fire, it would have been terrible, terrible. And so we didn't know what to do. And I didn't know whether to call 911 immediately, or I didn't know how bad it was. And so I raced back to the fire, to the job. And they had pretty much extinguished everything, but the smell of smoke was too thick in the air. And we still were on edge about whether to have firemen come out and check everything. Of course, they come out and they destroy your house looking for the fire. So I didn't call, and it was okay, but it was a big time coming together with everything and all about. I'll tell you what, that's why I brought it up, was that it's easy to believe when everything's going along. But if something happens to a member of your family or someone, a disastrous thing happens, then your faith is really on the line. It's not easy then. That's when it's tested. And that's what was happening to me during this whole process.
You remember the word, it's no man that warreth. And it's interesting, warreth comes from the word, the same word where we get strategy. It's strateal. Entangleth himself, interweaves with the affairs, is pragmatia. The deeds or the pursuits of any effort, any activity in time and space. No man that warreth interweaves his life with the pragmatia, the pursuit of this life, and this life is bios, the period or course of one's life. And so, at every juncture, as we've talked, and Gary just mentioned, when you're doing, it's like faith. Faith is only faith when it's automatic. It's not faith if you're sitting around thinking about it.
You have to try and make it.
And so the whole idea of of this mystery of entangling and affairs. And it's if you're not forced to look at what God sees as chastisement, if everything is going well, then you know you don't ever. There's no reason to even give it any thought. It's automatic. Because hopefully your repentance is constant. But when chastisement comes, and chastisement is anything that causes you to be tense or concerned, or and so that chastisement comes, the question then is, does faith become automatic? And that's where the real, the other stuff is child's play, spiritually. So, anybody have anything else?
I think that, to me, the words, the selections of terms like soldier and husbandman, kind of odd.
Well, you remember the word, first of all, the word soldier. We looked at what that perfect faith was, where Jesus said, I have not seen such faith, no, not in the land of Israel, the faith of the centurion. And so that's why the word soldier is used. Because you don't even think about not obeying. You don't even think about not. So he knew that Jesus had the power, and he simply said, it's not necessary for you to come to my house, just say the word. So that's the reason for... And husbandman means literally the vine dresser, the vine keeper. We are never the husbandman. We are the sub-husbandman, if you will. Free tenant farmer.
Yeah.
Well, what was important is the Greek meaning of the word. From that's what it was. It's georgos. It means the vine dresser, or in some cases the tiller of the ground. Anyhow. Verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider is that word that means perceive with the mind and the senses, but it could also mean ponder. And it's the whole idea. The Romans 15, you can go there if you want to, but it's that I'm determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. And this is where integrity comes, because it's easy to fake it outwardly. But to be determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in you by Christ Jesus is the true meaning of this consider what I say. Let's go to Mark 7. Verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now the word understand or understanding is synesis. And it means flowing with. It's like there's not any effort because you're flowing with the mystery. Okay? Lord, give you understanding so that you would, the flow is unhindered. Now, there's a lot of people that don't understand all the words here, but the Lord's giving them the grace to do it, to be it. But anyway, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples said, "What the hell does that mean?" No, they essentially asked that. His disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto him, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him?" Now, all of the things, it doesn't matter whether it's drugs, it doesn't matter whether it's, and nothing defiles, because the only reason drugs have any merit or have any effect on you is because you have the receptor already in your brain to have, so it locks onto it. And the reason you get drunk is because, and you get high or whatever you do when you drink liquor, it's the same receptors, both, I believe, for both drugs and alcohol that the Holy Spirit uses for guidance. And so you've covered over those receptors by the use of drugs or alcohol to dull your boredom or your fear or whatever you're doing. And it's just... But the point here... Just think about you could be in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah and not be defiled. The only thing that defiles you is what's already in you. That's what he's, well, I mean, let's, are you, the point of it here, are you so without understanding, Synesis? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all foods. And he saith, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and defile the man. That's why if you give any breath to how you feel or what you're thinking or try to understand the mystery of God with your mind, it's automatically defiled. It's like the prosperity gospel. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe in the unholy quartet, because it's unholy because they have put themselves into the mystery of God. So it's automatically defiled. Everybody understand this a little bit?
They were closer to the understanding, I would think, because of sacrifices and that we are sin. And that's kind of what this is saying. There's nothing about you that's not sin.
Yeah, it's sin, the sin that dwelleth in you. And who is the sin? The sin is a person. Huh?
Tell me which one of these you don't do.
Yeah. And so the only possibility, the only hope for us is constant, unending repentance. The instant anything comes, you try to, oh, I'm thinking about this, or what I'm going to do about that, or blah, 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 blah. It has to be repentance. But that seems so impossible. It's not impossible once you see this. And repentance is a joyful thing.
Amen.
All right, let's go to...
Guilt is kind of a trigger, I was just thinking, that if you're feeling guilty, then you're not seeing the sacrifice. And not seeing yourself as you are and seeing what Christ died for.
Yeah, but guilt can be tricky. Guilt can be... you're guilty because of the traditions of men instead of being seeing that you are the sin.
Right.
So sin in what you do is what you are. Yeah. Until you see that, nothing else. You can't understand anything. You'll never understand the cross. You'll never understand your death. You'll never understand baptism. All right. Let's go to Hebrews.
Thinking about when God was cutting the covenant with Abram, and so that he wouldn't defile it, he put him to sleep.
Right.
It's like there's the big important thing, and now you can't be here.
Right.
You can't be here.
Mess it up. Even if you're willing.
All right, let's go. Before we go to Hebrews, go to 1 Timothy. Just take a left a minute. I mean, from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment, the goal, the purpose, the reason, the end of the commandment is agape, charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfailed, from which some having swerved have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherever they affirm. That's kind of important. They understand. They don't flow with the mystery. There's a certain individual that I've known him for over 40 years, long before I was a believer. And we talk every time he comes over here about the death of self. I bet I get 3 emails a week about some cause he's promoting. Mainly, he's one of the birthers, so he's... He's convinced that Obama is not a citizen, so he can't be president. But it's on and on and on. I mean, it's like it's all I know to do is just love him and yell at him once in a while. All right, now we go to Hebrews 11. The faith chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The reason that faith is the substance, because faith is Jesus Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we understand that all is spirit. We understand this mystery of God. He spoke, and time and space entered eternity. We understand that there is nothing in time and space that can't be of Him. We understand that the only enemy in time and space is our mind. We understand that you can't stop your mind from doing the crap it does. You have to take it fully. You have to go to the end and see its nothingness. Until you do, this is just philosophy. So there's a lot that we understand, or at least we say we understand it, but are you flowing with it at all times? That's what understanding means. You don't go back and forth. You flow. It's like you're on a raft going down a peaceful river. It's peaceful to the person inside you, your real life. Outwardly, it doesn't seem peaceful at all. Amen?
Amen.
So we understand these things. We've flown together with it. You are without excuse. You've heard, you know the emptiness and vanity of your own life. You know the futility of your own thoughts. I pray you do. Unless you got some sweet thoughts that have entered in lately.
I was thinking about Michael Carlson, who does his river rafting
thing. Yeah.
I was too, yeah.
You know, and so it's like he's done it enough, he knows where the things are, and so, you know, outwardly it looks like things are just, you know, can go the right way, but if you're inside the raft, you know, it's like crazy. Crazy cold and wet.
Do you understand this? Oh, this is an interesting way of saying it. Do you understand the simplicity of understanding? Understanding is the fruit of repentance. Because He already is understanding.
That's
He is faith.
We understand.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's axiomatic. You don't have to say every time you say faith. Faith is impossible without repentance. So if that isn't known, then you're going to try to have faith. Well, let's go to hear a sermon on how I get faith. No, that's just as evil as the prosperity gospel. Yeah. All right, let's look at some more understanding. Let's go to Luke 2.
I can fake authenticity on that.
Yeah. Verse 41. Now the parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, his understanding and answers at that point are your heritage, because he's your life. Even as a child, You know, last night I had a long talk with Johnny Jr. And he, you know.
Who, am I Johnny?
You're Johnny.
Little Johnny?
You're Johnny. And he, you know, it's like with him, he understands like automatically, almost. It's just freaky. The same is true even with Julie and all these meetings we've been having. And Becca. I mean, it's just...
It bothers me that that's that way, because they don't come to Bible study and they don't hear all the stories and scriptures, and yet they've got this faith passed on or whatever it is.
Well, I grew up in it, so...
Yeah.
And it's...
You know what this said here about the, he was asking questions, and, you know, that whole thing is like, if you're and listening, it's like the problem is that we're so wrapped up in ourselves, we're not open to what God has put, you know, everywhere.
Amen.
You know, like in Romans 2, where just everything
is nothing
right there, so the understanding is available to everybody. And the problem is if we repent, that's when we're able to listen and open ourselves to.
Amen.
To see it, you know.
By the way, he's got his perfect job now.
Yeah.
He's managing director of the Dallas Video Festival.
Wow.
Which he's been working with from Harry since he was what, 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah. What a time.
Well, it's perfect.
It's Harry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coming back around.
Yeah, yeah.
That all that stuff years ago, you know, was passing on all this stuff to John.
Amen. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Oh, it's a lot. And the other one is Angie's. It's like she was born with understanding.
I know.
She was born shaking her finger at you.
I know.
Where are we going?
Colossians 1.
Page 1204.
Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, it's this idea of understanding is just flowing. I love that word, synesis. You're flowing. You're not trying to swim upstream like some of you spent years and years doing, Scott. Amen? You flow. All right, now this is one of the great prayers that, and let's go back to Ephesians and we'll stop. Wait a minute, stay in Colossians. Chapter 2. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's an incredible sentence.
Yeah.
Now back to Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation or the administration of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. You may understand. Now, Paul, what Paul is saying is he knows this mystery. He knows that he knows. But he knows that you know it also. And so all that Paul can do, and this is what he was for me, it was a witness to what I already knew. And that's all I can do. The best that I can do is be a spark that kindles something you already know that's been hidden. I can't teach anybody anything. But it's this mystery so that you would flow with the understanding that is your heritage. One more prayer. Go back over to verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, etc., etc. He prays for your understanding in the knowledge of his. It's always his. The minute you make it yours, you pollute it. The minute you think you have some, you've gotten something, you've arrived at some place, then you've gone. You're back to ground zero.
Because you're thinking about you and your progress or lack of.
One more prayer. I said that before, but chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell, and means permanently dwells, in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, or the word is synesis, understand with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Amen. So do you understand understanding a little better? Anybody else? You going to give a coda, Kevin?
I understand, but help my not understand.
Amen. Take it, big guy.
Pray for those that are traveling and getting surgery. Take it, big guy. I said that.